Whipper.
G'day, podcasters. Very special podcast. Thought we'd do something different today. Want to fire it off with a word of the day, because I feel like, I mean, don't get me wrong, we've got some great stories for you on the podcast today, but to take a word away would be like an educational podcast.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
That's a good idea, isn't it? The word of the day I'm going to give to you is...
Thunderstruck.
But we already know that word.
Right, yeah.
Hang on a minute, but we already...
Great ACDC song.
No, it's it actually means overcome or astounded.
Oh, I've been thunderstruck. Can't even
You've been
say
thunderstruck?
I've been thunderstruck on that word. All right, so that's why it makes sense in the song. You're boring me!
Do you want a different one?
Stick around, guys. It's going to be a big podcast.
It feels like it's gone quickly. I hope she's not rushing into this. Georgia Love and The Bachelorette, the finale Thursday night. Who are we down to? Lee and Matt, is it?
And
Kevin.
Barry.
Gary?
Tony.
Desmond.
No, Desmond didn't make it through about on the first night.
It's pretty much Gordon? Lee and Maddie because they took photos of them in Singapore.
That's what I'm thinking,
Sarah. Yeah, the Daily Mail have pictures and she only takes two to Singapore, so they've sort of given that away.
I wonder if they go to that, what is it called, that Sands Bay Hotel.
Oh, where Marina Bay Sands.
Marina Bay Sands up the top there. That might be where the finale is.
With
the big moment, yeah.
No, I wouldn't speculate. It's more about finding love.
No, you're right.
Not about where they're going to be.
Don't worry about the hotel selection.
13, 24, 10. Where do you think they will be?
Yep, no, you're
on
right.
The finale. Get involved.
Secondary to who she chooses. You're spot on. This story that's come out here. Have you got any juicy music for me, Jay? Something saucy. This is interesting. Apparently, last year at the Melbourne Cup, she hooked up with
Bill Clinton.
Not Bill Clinton. No, no.
It's in the sex.
None other than Michael Turnbull.
Oh my God, that guy from The Bachelorette last year.
You might have to set up who he is because I reckon a lot of people wouldn't know.
I'm about to launch into it. He was the one known for putting photos up which he'd stolen from other people. So the famous one was the three bottles of Cristal and a champagne ice bucket. Mm. But of course, he'd just stolen it off the internet.
Was that stolen?
Yeah. No, well, he... Yeah,
because remember they went round, a current affair went round to his house and he just had a lower brand champagne in the fridge.
And he had the fake Rolex.
Yeah, he was the soccer player, but then he didn't really make the Australian team. There was a lot of who is this guy.
Did he come second? It was Frost.
Third. Yeah.
You know, and he's got mm-hmm. he's got he now has a hashtag, Michael Squad.
Yeah, that's my cool squad.
It's my cool squad, but my cool squad.
I mean, 007
Ben. Get involved.
Ben. 007 Ben, not long ago, who works on the show, surprised us by telling us it was Malcolm Turnbull, but of course Michael Turnbull was on it. It was very fun. That didn't make it to air.
No,
did
we
it?
Didn't make that to
No,
air.
It was a bit boring. So we let that go. Sorry, mate.
You
great
try,
effort.
Ben.
Great
you
effort.
Try.
But it was a stinker. Oh. Let's move on. Look, he's been supportive throughout the entire show, writing to her, saying good luck, and then whoever wins her heart is a lucky man. Apparently at the races, they were flirting outrageously, maybe in the My Marquee, good spot to be. And he was overheard saying, we're going to catch up later tonight. A source close to the two of them says they definitely caught up later that night.
They must just be, I don't know, look, and being a reality contestant myself previously, these people just must be drawn to another reality contestant.
That's right, because she wouldn't have been famous then.
Do you know what I mean?
She wasn't even considered
then. Yeah, so it's a type.
But what I'm saying is that Georgia Love would have loved the show so much, saw Michael Turnbull and gone, I really want to get with that guy. Thinking I'd love to be on that show in the future. And God, look what's happened. She's the Bachelorette.
I'm trying very hard not to judge if that's the case. Something I want to reveal
here. People can still hook up with each other on the day, mate. I don't think it's that outlandish, is it?
One of the final three, I can tell you this much, so I'm able to narrow it down to two, has been hitting on my babysitter.
You heard it first here.
Whoa. And your babysitter's a 48-year-old guy from Germany, which is weird.
his name's Hans, which is really weird.
Really weird.
So that counts one out. So we are down to two, sir.
Who? No, tell us. Tell us who it is.
I can't say, mate. I can't say.
Why can't you?
It's not right to. You know what? Last year, when the Daily Mail put up photos of Sam Frost and Sasha, destroyed me. I was so into the show, and I was shattered.
Oh, man, reassess your life.
Remember they took them straight to court, Channel 10?
None of us
And it was
cared.
Thrown out, unfortunately. Yeah. Didn't have any legs. But
Well, I spoke to a cameraman. He said Lee wins.
I mean, there's rumours everywhere.
Everyone has
All
a story
I would say,
there.
You know what, too? Because you're right, you spend your whole time assessing.
I've
you're
got
not even
no
watching
idea.
The show, you
I'm not even watching
when
it.
When she was in here and I said that that pash with Lee was like no other pash she'd shared with anybody else on the show, she sort of smiled in a giggly sort of I'm in love type smile and giggle.
Yeah, hang on. We do this every season. Yeah. Oh, you looked
and you
at them funny.
He hasn't picked one winner.
No, not yet. You're so far off. Your people usually get eliminated in the first 3 weeks.
I thought she was going to hook up with the Asian stripper.
Yeah, he was gone before it even really got out of the car.
I'd picked him at episode one.
I need to talk about a huge court case that's happening over in the UK at the moment, Sarah. This is massive. A man has gone on trial accused of cruelty after he passed wind on a boy's face. Aww. Gary McKenzie, 22.
Okay.
Right, mate, I told you not to play it. I'm being serious. Oh, no, I was
It's just
serious.
I was confused with what Fitzy was talking about, so thanks, Joe.
Gary McKenzie, 22, says he broke wind in front of the boy accidentally, but prosecutors say his behaviour was cruel and bullying. Prosecutor Paul Adams said that the boy said that the defendant pumped in his face. Pumped. Okay.
Pumped.
That's a different
haven't
word.
Haven't heard that term.
Yeah. Doesn't well, really describe
I suppose
it.
If you're forcing something, if it was forced.
The judge said it might be a rugby club done to someone who had drunk 10 pints and fallen asleep that one might think that this is horseplay. Sure. But this was a child at the time and was highly inappropriate. The boy said he pumped. He was right next to me and he was bending down. He was wearing shorts. Okay. His shorts were right next to my face. I said to him, why did you do that? And he said he did it because he wanted to be nasty.
Okay.
It's a pretty cruel thing to do.
I mean, you
someone.
Can call kids
it's
names
so
and sticks and stones may break your bones, but
he added that he added that he had witnessed McKenzie trump in front of another child's face.
What?
This time pulling his pants down and breaking wind right on the kid's face.
Oh, that's
aggressive.
Disgusting.
That's aggressive.
McKenzie told police that he had broken wind in front of the boy's face while he was walking up some stairs and while the child's face was near his backside, which can happen.
Yep.
When you're walking up the stairs...
Got your head down.
It's sometimes you lose control.
Do you?
You do, sir. It's hard sometimes upstairs.
Could pump. Was there any evidence? Was there a jar presented at all with... What he was struck by or anything
Mr. Adams also went on to add he has said he has said that this has been funny but denied the incident. Sorry, can't talk. Of the incident involving the pillow, there was also a pillow over his face and tried to scare him doing that way.
Don't worry about that bit.
But then, this is what he's done.
Yeah,
so he's put the pillow and then he's gone a little bit further, put a pillow on the kid's face and then sat on the pillow and done another one.
Wow, he's really pushed it.
I mean, don't get me wrong, this has ended up in court, so there's a serious side to it, but I would suggest anyone that has grown up with siblings has experienced this type of behaviour before. I mean, Sarah, your, boyfriend, your brother Hamish, I mean, God, he used to pump a fair bit.
You can't escape a cupcake. That's
no, you
the
can't,
thing.
And that's
what
a strike.
What
a cupcake
about your
is secondary,
Sarah? Did they used to trump?
No, we don't really. Girls don't really do that stuff to each other, but then you have a brother and you're not allowed to be too rough with each other, and he was the youngest. And so Dad would get mad if you were too rough. So it did resort to wedgies and dackings and
some
a little bit of
stuff.
It does say a lot about society, though, that when you are a young kid, if you can trump in class, you're very popular.
Yep.
Really?
We're setting a terrible benchmark. Well, but it's funny. when you're a kid, like at the moment, and obviously he's my child, but... You know, Huey and even Lenny, it's a lot of toilet humour at the moment. Mm.
Which is fine.
Just poos and wees the whole time.
I think
it's funny.
Ted is, 20 months old. He's not even 20 months. And if someone passes wind at home, there's a smile.
Okay, if someone... Lisa's really sitting around the house letting it fly.
If the postman seems to be out the front and Ted hears him pass wind... There's a laugh and a giggle in it. There's a smile. Now,
what are you teaching
him? Now, I haven't taught him that. That's instinct.
Have you taught him to pump?
Just to have a bit of a laugh at that one.
Yeah, but look at what you're teaching him for life, that it's okay to be really public with that, to sit on your couch and just sort of let it hang out.
You know where it starts? I mean, he passed wind in the bath the other day, Sarah.
And it was funny.
And he looked at me as if, was that okay? And I said, you're right to go, mate. And with that, he giggled and we both clapped. And I can't wait for the next time.
But see, I hope this sends a message out to everyone now that if you are going to pump or trump, that guys like... Gary McKenzie, mm-hmm. these guys that are doing it regularly,
yeah, sure.
you can get arrested for this stuff.
Yep.
You'll get sent to jail. And it's going to be tough when you're in there and Bruiser says, what are you in here for? And you're like, I'm in here for pumping.
Lie down and I'll show you. And he says, all right, you better take the top bunk. Said,
well, you're in the right circle.
I'm glad you're used to it. He gets a run-up. All right. Shout out to anybody listening in Silverwater this morning.
13-24-10 if you do have a Trump ready to go. We would never do it.
We are better than that.
It's against the law.
We're better than that.
And Gary McKenzie is going to be locked away for a long time.
Just.
How's this? Great survey that's come out over nights there. The average, I think, life expectancy here in Australia is 83 years of age.
Is that for a man?
Well, let's just go with both.
Yeah, girls go a bit longer. I'd say that's for the women.
Yeah.
But the study has revealed that we typically fall in love just over six times in our lives.
With another person, do you mean?
What else are you saying?
I mean, you can have a lot of loves. I've got a love for food. You might love your car.
Love.
Oh, sure.
With someone.
Sure. Just confirming.
You can't actually love your food. Whoops. I think we might need to bring a counsellor in.
I am emotionally moved by food. So
different. Very
that's
different.
That's love, mate.
So when I say typically fall in love just over six times, is that for you? That's Chinese food.
That's pizza. Mm-hmm.
Italian.
Some sushi.
I mean, how many cultures do you want to throw out there? I'll take them all. I love you.
We fall in love just over six times in our lives with eight romantic partners overall. But we'll also be dumped five times and we'll have a number of people requite our love.
Oh, five dumpings.
Five suggesting that your marriage lasted, because if you're saying you fall in love six times, you've held on to one. 50% divorce rate, mate.
That's
bad stat.
But see, Emma, I've always said that you need to be dumped. You need to have your heart broken before you find the proper one.
Do you?
Yeah, you don't believe in that, do you?
I don't. I think having your heart broken is the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, but look what you turned into. You know, this powerful woman that found Gary lifted herself up again.
Okay, I wasn't talking about me.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I just said that feeling of having your heart broken is awful. I wasn't talking about myself. Thanks, Whips.
As this one said, on the plus side, the average time that we spend in the bedroom is, or the times that you do it in the bedroom, is around 5,778 times before you die.
How many times?
5,778 times before you die.
Divide that by weeks.
That sounds like a lot.
Doesn't it? Tommy, if you times that by 30 seconds, that would give you a title of how long I've spent doing it.
I'd love to do that calculation.
Wait up. Let's get to the calculator.
That was in bed. So what about on a best friend's couch?
If the average age is 83, let's times that by 52, right? Because that's weeks. That equals 4,316. All right, so if we do...
So twice a week.
So 5,778 divided by 4,316.
How confusing is this math?
I would have done it off air.
We're doing it. we're in the bedroom 1.3 times a week.
Oh, you're doing well then.
That's not bad.
No, that's all right. And what's that 0.3? Where you're just continuing to attempt. But
that's where you've grazed across someone.
She's got a headache again.
Yep.
That's when your partner's not even there.
you've woken up.
Oh, no, sorry. I should have read down. Here we go.
No, keep going, mate.
It says in the survey, if you lose your virginity at 18, for example, that works out that you're getting intimate nearly twice a week for 65 years.
Right, okay. Mm. Starting at 18.
So that's quite a lot.
Got any stats on getting your toes sucked at Bathurst Uni?
Hey! Why has this become a reflection of my personal life?
Anything on there, mate?
It also goes on to our lifestyle habits.
Oh, yes.
We make 3,386 trips to the pub before we die.
Okay.
Definitely done that already.
And we will spend $150,000 on booze in our lifetime.
Wow.
Which also explains the 1,793 hangovers that you have in a lifetime.
How do they get these stats?
These stats aren't making me feel good about life this morning.
This is the big one. We spend 20 years of our life asleep.
Oh. I was a bit frustrated when I read that.
Why?
What a waste. 20 years. How long have I got? I got 80, right? So a quarter of it is taken up by doing nothing.
Yeah, it's
absolutely nothing. How can you do more in your sleep? What is the answer? That's why when people have that condition, like sleep eating, I always think to myself, why can't you sleep exercise? So you'd go to bed with your trainers on and the next thing you know, you've woken up and you've been for a run.
Well, you can't sleep with your heart rate up, mate.
Yeah, good point. I'm just trying to work out.
Does it really get you angry knowing, though, that you're wasting 20 years of your life sleeping and while people are listening to you, they're sleeping as well? Does that make you even angrier?
That is, no, because I'm still just drilling through to their brain and maybe they've picked up on one of your crap statistics this morning. I mean, you lost me at the start. Thanks, mate.
Oh, yeah? That's interesting.
Very simple. If you've seen a celebrity doing a perfectly normal thing because they are humans, we want to know about it. 13, 24, 10.
Nelly came off my bike yesterday riding up Darling Street in Roselle and saw Craig Rucastle from The Chaser. Love the man.
He's great.
Eye contact from about 20 metres away, Sarah, and I thought, I've got a helmet on, and you know it's harder to recognise someone with a helmet.
You are 6'6".
And I thought, no chance. And I'm looking and I'm looking. He's looked up. He's gone, Fitzy. And I've gone, Craig Rucastle, legend. Yep. Away, mate. And you put the arm out.
Yeah, but you would have just...
came off the bike and went under a truck.
You're about to break. You're about to ignore him, though, weren't you?
No. Well, yeah, but you were. I was waiting for him to acknowledge first, because I love Craig, and I'm just waiting. Oh, I hope he knows.
Fitzy, were you riding on the footpath?
No, on the road.
Oh, good.
Craig was walking on the road.
I hate people who ride on the footpath.
Well, sometimes if there's a red light, I'll go onto the footpath and weave through.
That is so annoying when people do that.
Different topic, Sarah.
Okay, sorry.
I was in the chemist on Sunday.
What are you getting?
Mylanta, for instance.
Is it a cream for that rash?
No, that's gone now.
No, it
hasn't. Thank you. Huh? What?
You've still got that boil on your bottom, don't you?
It was really quiet. We were going to keep that very quiet.
And what about Propecia for your hair as well?
It's Propecia, mate. Right, finasteride is the actual drug. Propecia is the brain. We've been through
this. What about the eczema?
I don't have eczema.
You do have flaky skin. Either that or dandruff. I got hit with something when I hugged you the other day.
It is the product I use from Ashley and Martin. Sarah?
Oh,
is that where
are you
Warnie
the new
Warnie?
Yeah.
Guys, that's
very
not the
naughty.
It's not the story I'm looking for, guys.
Don't try to get free product, mate.
I'm there.
The new face of Yeah.
Do you want my spotto?
Not really,
then
Tom.
The chemist said, here's your prescription, Mr. Boris. Hands it to me, and I went, I'm not Mr. Boris. Look over, there's Mark Boris. Introduced myself, had a chat. He's on Propecia as well.
What was he getting?
I don't know.
You're in the chemist and there's a celebrity there. You got to find out
I can't do that. That's not my job to go, oh, God, he's on, I don't know, Viagra.
Oh, because they put it in a sealed bag.
Yeah,
they do.
I couldn't see.
Tommy, you hold on to yours.
Okay.
Georgia in Cronulla. Who did you spot, Georgia?
You might win, Tom.
Hi, guys. I was at my parent teacher interviews last night and I spotted Scotty Cam.
Oh, Scotty!
With his daughter.
Wow! Did he have his gold logie
that's
on him?
Interesting.
No, unfortunately.
Well, that's good to see Scotty's going to parent teacher nights. Yeah. How old's his daughter, Georgia?
She's my age. I'm 17.
17.
Was Keith hiding around the corner at all? Did you see Keith from the block?
No, I wish.
Just working on the drones?
Georgia, is Scotty's daughter, is she quite smart? She does well at school?
Yeah, she does pretty well. She's in my English class.
Oh, good spot, Georgia.
Scotty Cam at your school. You'd get him to do a couple of jobs around the school.
Yeah. While you're here, fix the desk.
Yeah.
Craft pass, mate. Brooke and Barrow, welcome to the show. Who did you spot?
Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban.
Oh, wow.
Going to the movies.
Going to movies?
I'm in Barrow.
In Barrow? What were they? Do you know what they were going to see, Brooke?
No.
Wasn't Beam Expanded, was
it? No, well, remember we spoke to Keith last time and he hadn't seen
The Hours
that she won the Oscar for.
Maybe that's what it was.
They may have got a private screening of The Hours.
Wow, Brooke.
Keith organised it.
That's a really good spot. Chloe on the Central Coast, who have you seen?
Good morning, guys. So my husband and I were heading to Fiji on our honeymoon and we were about to collect our baggage and saw none other than Nikki Webster also collecting her baggage.
Oh, this is awesome.
Nikki Webster from the Olympics and the dance school.
Mm-hmm.
Was she with her partner or did she have a child, Chloe?
No baby, just the partner.
Oh, she wasn't singing Strawberry Kisses, was she?
No, but we started singing it sort of silently behind
it. Great.
Let's go. She would have loved that.
Jordan in Penrith, who have you seen, George?
Hey, guys, how you going?
Yeah,
g'day,
good,
Jordan.
Mate.
Really good.
Well, my girlfriend's birthday's coming up, so we're at the pet store out in Penrith, and she wanted a dog, of course, like every girl does.
Yeah.
And I've seen Delta Goodrum at the counter buying a fish.
No, you did not.
Yeah, I was going to go up and talk to her, but I didn't really know what to say because I didn't really know anything about fish at all. So.
Jordan, what sort of fish? Classic gold?
It was like one of those rainbow, it was like a decent looking fish. It wasn't a goldfish, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
Because not many people know her original song was Born to Trout.
Oh, dear.
Hang on a minute. There it is, kids. There it is. Jordan, I don't know whether to believe you. I would be surprised if Dr. Goodrum was in Penrith buying a fish.
It might be a gift. It might be a gift for someone.
You reckon?
She goes, yeah.
Mum, sure. Mum, I'm just going to pop over to Penrith.
What for?
To go get myself a fish. That's a good one. Ben in Currajong. Who have you seen, Benny?
Hey, I saw back in the States, Bill Murray. He was in a restaurant and he was mad about his food.
So I've heard Bill Murray like rocks up to cafes, restaurants, even the baseball, stuff like that. And if people go up to him and give him a beer or anything like that, he'll scull it in front of everyone, Benny. Was he doing anything to make people laugh?
No, he was by himself. I think he was just trying to have dinner. There was nobody around. He had a baseball cap pulled low.
Yeah, right.
So he was kind of inconspicuous, I guess. But yeah, he was really mad about his food, so he sent it back.
Wow. Oh, God, cracked it. Okay. Good spot, Benny. Sarah, gold class for two.
Tough one.
What do you want to do here? Do you give Jordan the benefit of the doubt?
No. I think we're leaning toward...
Sorry, Jordan.
I'm leaning toward Georgia in Cronulla.
Scotty Cam
at Paratici.
Well done, Georgia. You've got it.
Oh, my God.
Couple of tickets to gold class, Georgia.
Thank you so much.
Take Scotty with you.
And Tommy's got a great story, but why don't you hold on for next week? Don't tell it now.
No, we need it now.
No, this is a huge spot-o. Because it's going to be back. Don't worry.
I'll leave you in suspense.
Give us a clue, Tom, so I can spend all week wondering.
One of the biggest pop stars in the world. Wow.
Iggy Azalea.
Tim Amaji.
You have to wait. No.
I can't say.
All right.
You have to wait.
At Westfield Bondi Junction.
Oh, buying what?
You can't afford to go there, Tom. We've seen your salary.
Yeah.
That's why you wear pyjamas to work.
Oh, all right, mate. Lights, camera,
hilarity. Sarah's Bearers, why did Justin Bieber storm off stage overnight?
Yeah, he was performing last night in Manchester in the UK and he's dropped the mic and walked off stage and he said, I'm not being an a-hole, and just walked off. And then he's come back and started singing, and on further investigation, it's that everyone was screaming so much. It was putting him off and he wanted to talk to the crowd. He wanted to connect with them and they were just going mental. So he said, if you don't want me to talk to you anymore, that's fine, I'll just sing. So he refused to speak to them between songs after that and he just sang all his songs, which I don't think is such a terrible thing, and it would be incredibly frustrating. I mean, remember when we met the 1D boys for the first time and they were saying that they have to wear earplugs and it's actually piercing how people scream.
Well, I find it really hard sometimes here at work.
Do you?
When the bosses are just screaming at you constantly.
That's different. That's a different sort of scream.
Sometimes I feel like dropping the mic and just walking off.
Yeah, yeah. Putting earplugs in and just continuing
to sing
to yourself.
As soon as we get off air, straight into the office, it's like, why did you do this?
I know, mate.
Why did you play that?
Yeah, your life's really tough bits. I feel for you today. You and Bieber.
Hang in there, mate.
Same spot.
You're exactly
guys, Miranda
the same.
Kerr, they're saying she's going to be moving back to Sydney after that attack in her mansion. Was it 2 weeks ago now? A couple of weeks ago. So obviously that guy scaled the fence. Her security guards on the property were injured. One of them, I think, was stabbed in the eye, which is pretty full on. Well, apparently she and her fiance Evan Spiegel, the Snapchat founder, who's worth $2.7 billion, they've said that the two of them are prime targets for further attacks.
Right.
So they're going to be moving back to Sydney.
I think she's going to move in with her brother Wayne.
Okay. That joke, you know, you've been making it for 6 years.
Just a small belt that time. Because it's an oldie, but it's a goodie. No, it's to do with timing, Sam.
It's always good. Just
anyway,
timing.
Orlando Bloom is obviously not happy about this because if Miranda moves with Flynn, their child, he's not really going to see much of him. So we'll wait and see.
She should go and help out with Grandma's kitchen. You know how, was it her granny we spoke to? She's putting together,
in
Gunnedah. You can go there, get a lasagna, get a coffee, get a muffin.
Mm. I don't think Miranda Kerr just wants to give up on a life of...
suggestions, mate.
Okay.
Hey, suggestions.
Well,
that's
I spoke
I'm
to
send
her...
Send them into
the
show.
Who did you speak to?
Her ugly auntie, Stink.
Stop it. I hate 7:30.
Big Bell. I mean, it's an old joke again, but your timing was once again spot on.
Auntie Stinker, and she said she can come and live with me anytime she wants.
Chris Hemsworth, he's taken to social media to poke fun at reports that his marriage is on the rocks. So basically, he's been on the Gold Coast filming Thor. His wife, Elsa, has been in Spain. She's Spanish, with the kids. And he's put up a photo on Instagram after reports they were splitting up. And alongside the picture of them together, he's written, "Looking for a new wife," according to At Woman's Day Australia and other misleading outlets. "Honey, you still love me, right?"
They'll never break up.
I hope not. I love them together.
You'd give up on love there, I reckon, if they broke up.
I just... Woman's Day at the moment, I find, and new idea, I just feel like they're just going head-to-head with just the most ridiculous headlines they can come up with.
Well, how are they allowed to print a magazine that's just so false? Like, it's one thing to run on a rumour, but to totally make it up.
Well, we went through the Leighton Hewitt and Beck Hewitt headlines over the years, the front pages that they've got, and they've all been, I think they've just sued around, they've sued like 10 times and won 10 times. So how can they keep getting away with it?
I don't know. Do they sit around the boardroom and say, "Has anyone got anything legitimate?" Oh, there's a bit of that, I suppose. And it was a source, was it?
I've got a feeling.
Let's run it, guys.
I've got a feeling.
Front page.
Finally, this would possibly be the most awkward 30th birthday party ever. Drake has had his big bash in LA, and he's invited, obviously, a heap of A-list friends. But these three guests, I can't believe he got them in the same room together. Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, who obviously don't like each other, and then John Mayer, who dated them both. So there's the three of them at his birthday party together.
That's
very
a good effort.
Separate areas of the house.
Do you reckon?
Oh, God.
Drake, that's a good effort.
Have Isn't a sing-off. Sort it out.
Taylor Swift and Katy Perry wouldn't have gone anywhere near each other, would they?
It wasn't at a home. It was at a venue, so I don't know how far you could actually get away. Think of it, one room for a party. Doesn't matter how big it is. If out of that threesome, you don't want to see two people.
I'll tell you what, those personalities are
very awkward.
Bigger than any room you could walk into.
Happy birthday,
Drake. Power of Drake.
Yep, right there. Fire off some music for me, Jay. Let's talk about first impressions. Did you fire off the music? God, it's very quiet, man. Gee whiz, when I say fire it off, let's have a party. First impressions can be tough, whether it's a job or love, whatever you're going for. 10 seconds, they reckon, you've got, and you've got to make it count.
This is what I'm trying to teach my boys at the moment.
Yeah, sure.
Because Huey, when I introduce him to people, he's not even looking at them.
Yeah, sure.
He's looking around. He doesn't listen to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I said, mate, first impressions are vital. If you can make it with that person, they'll remember you for the rest of their lives.
Mate, my sister started seeing this bloke, right? I'll never forget this. He was around at the house. And Dad and I hadn't met him. And we walked in to meet him for the first time.
What?
And there he was sitting on the couch with Kate. And then we walked in.
Hold on.
And I said, "Hello, mate, how are you?" Put my hand out. He didn't even stand up and just lifted his hand towards me to shake my hand.
Oh, well, see, that's...
You don't reckon he was out.
No, you do have to stand up.
He was out that quick, it didn't
matter. The other one that's bad is the limp handshake.
Oh,
and they've always got sweaty palms too, which makes it worse. And it's not really a shake, it's just kind of a droopy wrist.
Well, that's what they're saying. Handshake is the big one too.
Yeah,
under the list of handshake is avoid the sweaty palms. Do you know what's funny? Is when you go to shake someone's hand and you see them wiping it down their leg before they shake your hand.
Well, see, Francis Bevan, our psychic, when he comes in, he's got sweaty hands as well.
Do you know what I think he's had done? You know how you can get treatment if you sweat under your pits and things,
right? You can get Botox in them.
Yeah, you can block it off.
So it comes out other pores.
Yeah, it does. The sweat moves to other glands, and therefore you can have your sweaty hand if you've had your armpits shut down.
But do you have glands in your hand?
You do now.
You do.
I think that theory is true.
Well, your hands get sweaty, so they must come out. That's true, isn't it, Dr. Tom?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct.
Thanks, Tom.
See, proven by a doctor. I always carry him with me. So that's why he has sweaty hands. You know what they say?
That's Francis Bevan, our psychic.
Bevan's laugh
that's
right
our laugh.
There.
Can we hear his laugh again?
No,
just his laugh.
That's when he realised his hands were so sweaty.
Oh, poor Francis.
He couldn't predict tomorrow's day, but he'd be right with a sweaty hand. They say only two smooth pumps with your handshakes there.
Yeah.
Just one, two. Make sure it's not from the shoulder and it's too heavy and wavy.
Okay.
Very important on the handshake.
What about eye contact?
Eye contact's crucial.
Yeah.
Don't stare, though. And your posture with your body language is very important as well.
Is this picking up as well? wrong. Like, I mean...
Can be. Well, it's all first impressions, isn't it? When it comes to a woman, though, let her extend the hand first for a handshake.
Oh, okay.
Well, otherwise you lean in for the kiss and it's a little bit forward.
What if you, like, if you were flirting with a girl at a bar, say, is it stupid for a guy to go up and shake their hand? You don't shake a girl's hand.
Yeah, I do.
No, in that situation, if you've gone up and met someone cold and haven't been introduced, you don't need to shake hands, but you need to be wary of personal space. Because you know when you're standing at a bar and someone shoves up against you?
Like in the lift. That's not nice. I hate that in the lift.
You do that to me on purpose.
That makes me so uncomfortable.
Lift.
There's someone... Francis Bevan, go and wipe your hand. Where has that been? I'll tell you what's awkward too is when you say hello and you get the old kiss on the lips. As
Who's
a greeting.
Doing that?
Someone here at work that does that.
Who?
Who? Dub them in.
Huh?
Who?
Come on, let's name them.
Catherine.
Oh,
does she
our
kiss
publicist.
You on the lips?
Whenever I say hello and I go round to the side, she straightens me out and gets it on the lips. Ooh. And I bloody love it.
thank you. Thank you, Francis. Tommy, can we get back him back in?
Just get
I
him
don't
a
know
laugh.
What for.
Yeah, he wasn't very good at predicting things.
No, we've got a laugh track out of him now. That's
good
all we need.
Couldn't predict a thing. Here's an important one for you, Fitzy. Refresh your style and avoid the time warp. Move with your age.
Time warp.
We've been trying to bring this up. We've been trying to bring this up for a while now, haven't we?
I mean,
you're not 18 anymore. You continue to crash kids' parties like festivals. Right, you're 40 years old. We've ticked over that important mark.
Mm.
You're a father of two.
Yep.
Okay, I want you to start dressing like a responsible father.
Oh, what, no, what, I love
what,
your
what
baseball
Ralph Lauren?
I'm going to lend you some shirts.
And go to some degustations and some scotch tours.
I'm going to buy you a bottle of scotch. I'm going to buy you a very high collar, some nice bow shoes, and just smarten you out a little bit.
That day will never come for me, my friend.
Where's Francis?
I'm Peter Pan.
Tommy. What about this?
Yeah.
Melbourne Cup's coming up.
Yes.
Where's Francis Bevan? Remember last
there
time
we
printed out all the horses' bums and we stuck them on the window was able to come in and as an expert and pick a bum.
Pick a bum, any bum, and he'd picked
he
a fair
all,
few bums.
Which was
no,
scary.
Well, he did. Well, see, the thing is, what we've got to understand with Francis Bevan, we know he's one of the best psychics in the land.
Absolutely.
He hasn't picked a winner.
No.
For years.
Give him another chance.
Okay, I'll ask him. He
comes in, he makes jokes about trying to pick me up.
Yes.
He laughs like that for 5 minutes.
Yep.
I think we need to find a new psychic.
No. How dare you? We are not finding a new psychic.
He is our man.
Tommy, I want him for the Melbourne Cup to give everybody a bit of a clue. And
I'll send him a text
winner.
Now and I'll tell him we've got 21 bums in here for him to pick from. How quick can you make it in here?
Yeah, I don't think he's busy. I think you'll be able to get him.
Pretty quick, I reckon. Maxim's Hottest 100 is out. Good news. Sorry, I just had my breakfast in my
eating?
Mouth. I've been doing, we had Dr. Oz on the other day, and he said, you know how I'm into the 5-2, why don't you try fasting for 12 hours from dinner to breakfast? So I didn't have
Well, that's what everyone does every night anyway, don't they?
Yeah, because you eat dinner and then you go to bed and then you get up and do some exercise and it's been about 12 hours.
We can't get up and do exercise. We get up at 4 a.m. and I've had to wait till 8. That's why I've been a bit mad today. Good brekkie, though.
So you're not doing 5-2 anymore. You're doing your own version.
It's a different type of fasting with the same result if you listen to Dr. Oz.
I don't think it's been proven. Mm.
Maxim's Hottest 100, guys, is out. Let's go through the top 10. Ruby Rose is at number 10.
Well done, Ruby.
The Veronicas, both of them come in at number 9. That would make sense. Bindi Irwin.
She's my number 8.
Is this meant to be sexy?
Yeah, well,
What does hottest mean?
Hottest is attractive. And she is very attractive, but she still seems like a little girl.
Well, I don't think we'll ever get past that, will we?
No.
It's a bit Nikki Webster.
But it's
always be a little girl.
It's Maxim magazine, and they have a party for it as well. So in the top 10, you've got to invite a couple of people that you know are going to come to the party.
Miranda Kerr, number 6.
She's not going to come.
Renee Summerfield. Do we know her?
Sure.
Renee?
Never heard
Josiah,
of her.
You're an Instagram stalker?
Yeah, she's an Instagram blogger.
Is she?
Yeah.
How many followers?
1.5 million.
Oh, so she'll get an invite to the party and rock
out. She'll get an invite. Delta Goodrum's number 3. Jessica Murray at number 2.
Stunning.
Number 1, drum roll. Too long. Margot Robbie.
Well done.
What about this, though? I mean, when you round out the bottom of the list, though. Kitty Chiller from the Olympic Committee.
Yeah, why are
99.
You putting her in?
I mean, this is a bit of a joke section,
weird.
Isn't it? Oh, no, Jess Rose, great.
Sarah, you need a bit of controversy in there. Well, Pauline Hanson comes in at 100.
Lucy
she makes the
Turnbull at 93. It's a bit disrespectful, isn't it?
It is, for the First Lady, I would have thought.
Yeah.
I don't like that much.
She doesn't want to be on this list.
Julie Bishop, she's got style, hasn't she?
Well, politicians can get in there as well, so.
Amanda Vanstone.
Yeah, Julie Bishop should be much higher than 98. She is absolute class.
Do you reckon Pauline Hanson turns up to the Maximum 100 party? I mean, when you make the list, do you automatically get an invite to the party?
Number 100, reporting for a night out.
Reporting for a wild night out, guys.
Do you know what we will miss forever now is the old Cleo Bachelor of the Year. Mm. That was always a bit of entertainment, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
We could run our own around the office.
Hmm? Just within the team?
Yeah.
That's a bit sexist.
Well, like just five of us.
Okay, well, it's just Josiah, really, isn't it?
Thanks, sir.
Is he a bachelor?
Well, yeah, it
Who knows? I went in at once, mate, and I had a girlfriend. Bloody breaking news.
Well, that's I could never understand.
Yeah, 2005, I think I was. Why came fifth.
Well, that means you're not a bachelor.
Doesn't matter, mate.
Did they make you take your shirt off?
No, he had to wear Ed Hardy, and he was up against
the
wall.
Ed
it's
Hardy,
the most
mate.
Horrible shot I've ever seen.
I have to see
I left
this.
My shirt on, yeah. Sarah.
Oh, everyone was that else your choice?
Yeah, it was a that was my point of difference.
Very interesting article that came out overnight. Wedding photographers reveal exactly how they know a bride and groom aren't a match made in heaven. And you know what? We always talk about the old saying, a picture's worth a thousand words. And if you are a wedding photographer, you're with the bride and groom every minute of the day leading up to that wedding. So you would there would be some telltale signs.
Would there be, though, because you're on your best behaviour. Yeah. It's such an exciting day. Like, it's the best of everything.
But it's stressful, Sarah.
It is stressful. It is. And you know what? We had a couple at our wedding. One of them was fantastic. The other one was an absolute shocker. But it's such a weird thing, the photo part of a wedding, because you do your whole I do's, right? You've got all the people in the world that you love there, and then you have to go away privately for an hour while they take photos of you wandering around a bloody garden.
Number one. It's the what have I done look. And a lot of wedding photographers have taken that photo where you may be sitting next to your partner. It's either the bride or groom, and they've taken a shot and you can see it in their eyes of them going, what have I done?
Oh, how sad.
They're the photos that they keep to themselves and they don't even show the couple. But that's a telltale
Imagine
sign.
Imagine that. You know what? Until they break up and then you just mail them. Mm. Send it in the post and go, I kind of knew.
Number two, words matter. Wedding photographers say it becomes pretty clear in a short time what the focus is. Many couples, particularly young couples, pretty clearly have in mind a wedding, but have put little thought and planning into a marriage. So they're so excited about the day.
Yeah, the big party,
pump
the dress.
Event.
But the wedding photographer knows that they don't know what comes after the wedding.
God, it's an expensive mistake.
Number three, family matters. The differences we see in the families and friends' behaviour at a wedding, the bridesmaids talking, the groomsmen interacting, the parents glancing and their body language, the toasts, the speeches, all are very telling about how much they think is a good idea and how much community support there is around a couple. You can tell if there's feuding between a bride and a groom and their families.
Ours was going really well until you dropped an F-bomb before you'd introduced the bridal party in front of my grandmother.
Oh, how much she's heard worse.
Spoke about your mother's cleavage.
Okay.
Which I shouldn't have done. Number four, PDAs. So there's one wedding photographer who said he got them together. He said, right, guys, I just need you to kiss. Can you kiss the bride? And the bloke went, no, thanks. That's okay.
What do you mean?
That's a telltale sign, isn't it?
I'd say so. If your groom doesn't want to kiss you, it ain't going to happen.
This is a good one. So number five, being more into your phone than your partner.
Okay.
Oh, who's got their phone out at their wedding? If you're the bride or groom, who's texting?
Salim.
Who are you texting?
He would have.
Yeah, see, you do.
Everyone's in the room.
Do you like to get your own photos, though?
Do you know what I think is a bit of a telltale sign as well? If you don't get it on your wedding night. I mean, if we went around the room, how did you go?
Oh, whoa, mate.
No one's answering. I'm not answering this question.
For a marriage that didn't go to plan. Was it a quiet one on the wedding night, or was it
Maybe it was the plan all along. Just to give you show content.
No,
it wasn't. Imagine if I said that
Thanks
to Dad.
For your commitment,
Thanks
mate.
For that.
Expensive content.
Yeah, you're into planning a wedding and not a marriage, Sarah.
No, I wasn't very good at the old planning. Didn't like dress shopping.
And this is another telltale sign. Preferring the photographer to your husband. I've told you the story about a mate of mine who got married to his childhood sweetheart. And then the week after, they had to wait a couple of weeks before the honeymoon. But she went missing a couple of days, a week after, Sarah. He found out that she had run off with the chauffeur who took her So she got to know the chauffeur on the way to her wedding.
Easily
like
impressed.
20 minutes in the car.
That's unbelievable.
She ended up having an affair with him and left the guy a week later.
That is so weird.
Yeah, well, let's not forget what the photographer caught when Tommy was getting married. And there he was waiting to do the I do's and wasn't even looking at Inger. It was over her shoulder because there was two girls making out in a hot tub.
Yes. Yeah, there were. But I mean, we're still together.
That's going to put you off, isn't it?
Where are they in the wedding photos? Where are they in the wedding photos, Tom?
So the top left corner.
It was weird when you had your phone out.
Yeah.
Trying to take shots.
Yep. No.
We appreciated it, but no. Focus on your day.
Yeah, I would love to hear from people, though, 13, 24, 10. I mean, what was the telltale sign for you at a wedding that you went to that this couple is not going to last?
Yep.
Did they hook up with a bridesmaid or a groomsman? Did they look at the photographer the wrong way? Were they arguing? Was there a family fight? If you've got any, give us a call. 13 24 10. Anne in Cronulla, what happened at the wedding that you went to?
Years ago, I went to a wedding and the groom kept staring at me. I was sort of sitting in front of him and I hadn't met him or the bride. I just was going with a guy I knew.
Yeah.
And I said to the guy, God, the groom keeps staring at me and I'm not being weird. He's just kept staring like directly at me.
Awesome.
Anyway, you know, and it was a bit awkward, but I thought, I must be imagining it. Then, you know, when the bride and groom get up and they go around and say hello to everybody, as soon as the bride got to me, she goes, you are a dead ringer for his ex-girlfriend.
Wow.
And I just looked at the guy and I went, I told you I wasn't imagining it. He just, you know, every time I sort of, you know, you just look up when they're talking or whatever, he was just,
do you know what? There'd be a lot of people out there that would think to themselves, this is a sign not to marry this woman.
Or if it looks so much like them, well, you'd be confused that they may have snuck into the church.
Oh, that would freak me out. And then you got your groomsmen going, stitch up, mate. We found a lookalike. We put her in the front row.
Went to a wedding, the worst wedding I've ever been to. All my high school mates have gotten married. This was absolutely the worst because it was a great fella. He'd been in a really long term, like 10 years he'd been with this girl. They were engaged to wed just before they got married. She said, I can't do it. And he was like, all right, it's over. I'm only going to now just go and play the field. First night out, unfortunately, he got this girl pregnant. So he's like, all right, I better do the right thing.
Not unfortunately. It was a bit dumb.
Yes, it really was. He's like, well, I better do the right thing. We better get married before the baby's born because he was quite religious.
Yeah.
We're at the wedding. Mm. It happens at the reception. The dad gets up and it was a loveless, loveless ceremony. You just could feel the tension in the room and he's just gone, well, I think we all know why this is happening. It's a mistake that has led to a mistake.
A mistake that's led to a mistake.
That's a horrible thing to say.
That's not a telltale sign.
It was unbelievable.
But see, you know what? Even though that sounds as horrible as it does, I would pay money to be in that front row of that wedding.
Got an interesting one happening at my place tonight. Lisa has invited somebody else to join the relationship. And she arrives at 7 o'clock for our first meeting this evening.
What's that?
It's a night nurse coming in to help out with the kids. I haven't had one of these before. Trouble at our place, mate. One's got terrible reflux.
Oh, wow.
It's not great. Yesterday,
so what would a nurse do with reflux?
I don't really know, mate. It is for anybody that has a child that has had reflux, and I know you've been through this, Tommy.
Oh, nasty.
Well, Tommy's been through both, reflux and night nurse.
Yep.
Because you used to be a night nurse, Tom.
Well, I was starting to be a paramedic, Fitz, but yeah, night nurse, if it works for the story.
I mean, your ears are pricked up.
Oh, yes.
Very high here.
They are burning.
My heart goes out to any family with a child with reflux. Yesterday afternoon, you just hit a stage where you go, I don't know whether I'm going to cry. I don't know whether I'm just going to run at the wall or I'm going to drink a bottle of scotch, but I just don't know what to do. The arching of the back, the screaming, the tears, the redness in the face, it's just non-stop. And physically demanding. You can only rock a child for so long. Get over here and give me a hug. So tonight we have, because Lisa can't sleep because he wakes up every 2 hours and I'm in a different bedroom and the whole thing's falling apart. So night nurse arrives at 7 o'clock today and I can't wait to meet her. Just trying to work out how the whole process happens. Does she just sit down and we get to know her over dinner and do I offer a glass of wine and
You're not dating her.
No.
But this is what it sort of...
Just let her do her thing. Show her where the kids' rooms are. Yeah. If you need anything, the kitchen's here.
Yeah. I don't think she see rocks up end. And she sits down and has a bottle of wine with you at the dinner yeah. table
but I need
while
to trust
your
her.
Kid's crying its oh. eyes out.
I need to get to know her. And
mate,
firstly,
too
I'd,
late. You've let her into your house.
Firstly, I'd ask the question, is this a stitch-up? Because we're in trouble at home and I don't have time for in-ear gags like the babysitter when you sent the yeah. woman round in the miniskirt.
No, it's no stitcher.
Okay, so she's legitimate. That's good news. I think it would be important to have a glass of wine. So then no. you just
do you
what
want
do
a
you
drunk
do?
Looking after your kids?
No, but then we're going to be sharing things. Like, do I say goodnight to her when I wander off? Do
give
I say
her a
do you,
kiss?
Do you want to have a shower now? Or do I have a shower?
Oh no,
we haven't had. We don't run a bed and breakfast often.
No.
Does she have breakfast? Should I
no,
go and get some
no,
bacon
no,
and eggs?
Night nurses
or?
Don't eat.
Do I? Call her today and say, do you want continental or full buffet?
I'd stay away from her if you want this to go smoothly.
What are you?
Yeah, I'd maybe go to a hotel for the night.
And is she qualified to look after two kids?
I don't.
Or three when Whipper's
because
there.
Because okay. we're not talking about Ted. Ted will be fast asleep. Yep. It'll be you asking her if she wants breakfast yeah. or a bottle of scotch.
Wouldn't it be weird if I bump into her in the middle of the night? I've just got my undies on and my mouth guard in.
Mm. And oh, what a purpose.
And then I'm going for a wee. Or what if I go for a wee and I forget yeah. that she's there and I leave the door open?
I'd rather have reflux.
And then and then she wanders in and she's probably just in her underwear as well. I don't yeah. know what she looks like.
She'll why?
Have, but I would assume.
She sees you in your undies. She'll have plenty of reflux. She'll be bringing up a lot of stuff, I reckon.
Oh.
I need a parrot. That's not how it works, mate.
Tommy, you've had a night nurse. How did you and Inga and her
well,
go?
Yeah,
three in the bed.
We had one come
at
over
at your bucks party.
No, but it was weird because we she would get into her pajamas.
What did she wear?
Like a comfortable sort of pajama tracksuit.
I'm really excited.
And then we would sit down every night, three nights in a row, and talk to her. And she was a lovely lady. Mm. But occasionally we'd be woken up by the sound of her eating chips on our couch.
Oh.
No,
and
no.
midnight, the crunching of chips.
Because
a
you
night monster.
You put it out there and you say, whatever's ours is yours.
Yes.
And that's free reign. If I was a night nurse,
so if I
mean,
up-
your whole life, you've got to look after kids who are sick, you know, and are crying all the time. You're not getting much sleep, sir. I'd take advantage
so
of
yeah,
it.
So you'd be stress eating.
I could get up in the middle of the night and she'd just be chewing through a bar of Toblerone on the couch.
Yeah.
Mm. As if you've got residual chocolate around the house. I've been there to babysit and you've cracked it because I had the last piece of Cadbury.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, remember that?
When this night nurse arrives, yeah. where's the nanny going to be?
The nanny's not there at the same time.
And the
time.
Chef? Where's your chef going to go?
Mate. Chef is out the front waiting.
No, yeah, what about your personal assistant that you had? What was her name?
She's not.
Is she there as well?
No. Tommy,
oh,
do
yeah,
I?
This is
going to
be a crowded house.
Do I work? Tommy, what do I wear? Like, do I need to dress up? Have some music going?
No, nothing.
I need flowers.
Where's your publicist?
I've got candles. Fitzy and Whipper.